Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am profoundly, deeply grateful to be with you on this March 30th day, 2019. Wow, it went fast, didn't it? March went just really fast. I'm very grateful to be with you after being at a retreat and everything. We had a wonderful one. And I am very grateful that you chose to be with me as we take a look at the word righteous. This is a word that means a lot to many, many, many people. They are looking for the whole idea of what is righteous in their life. And we'll take a look at the definition of that in a moment. I want to remind you, though, as you well know, these radio programs are offered to you as a way of serving you, of serving humankind, and they are supported solely and entirely upon you, the listening audience, and I hope that you will become a sponsor and help us sustain our radio program because we can't do it without you. It is only through your tax-deductible gift that we are able to continue, and we need sponsors to help us with that. It is only through sponsorship, your consistent donations, monthly or quarterly, that we are able to make all this happen and keep radio on the air. If you go to the website at aspire.org, down at the bottom, you will see why support Aspire. It tells you everything you need to know about where your money goes, how we use it, your tax deduction, and all of the little benefits you get for being a sponsor. You get the message of the month each and every month. It is something that I do on a given subject that I am choosing for the month that I'm talking about in my podcast, videocast commentaries, my breath journal, which is really a very nice little publication, as well as my monthly discourses, which I offer each and every month. So there is a lot there. It's kind of a study guide, a way for you to work upon yourself, I guess, at a distance. Eventually, hopefully, you will want to get a little more hands-on and come to either a workshop or come and join us at a retreat, which is always a very, very important thing in our lives. We're working and dedicating ourselves this year to the beginnings of the attainment to the soul. It's a very, very important thing. I cannot stress that enough, and I'm very grateful that you're listening. Just go to the website at aspire.org and take a look. You'll see down at the bottom why support Aspire, and you can go from there. Righteousness. Of a person or conduct, morally right or justifiable. That's the definition of it, I suppose, as far as it goes. Excellent, very good, that kind of thing. Jesus had a lot of difficulty with the word. He talked about people thinking they were righteous, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all of them. He talked a great deal about how our righteousness had to exceed theirs if we were going to be doing anything of any great value in our life. So I really am deeply interested in this subject, and I have three wonderful questions that were put to me just last week, or really the week before, and I'm going to offer them to you. The first one comes from Ellen in Los Angeles. I listen to you and watch you on TV and enjoy your work, but you make it seem like we are always all wrong and that everything is wrong. How do you know, Ellen? Ellen, forgive me. I don't mean to say or give you the impression that everything is wrong, okay? I want you to understand that. I am saying to you, we live against the flow of love that lives within. We live against life itself. Now, whether or not that's wrong or right is not for me to say, okay? I am sorry that I give you that impression, but that's not what I'm really trying to say, and I tried to be very succinct about that in my presentation, so forgive me for my inadequacies there. But we are out of sync with love. We are doing everything we are doing to be in the place we're in, if you can understand that. Everything isn't about wrong or right here, as it were. It's about finding our place. Everything is in accord with our collective mentality of what we believe is right and wrong, good and bad. We're living a lot in our self-righteousness, which is based in self-preservation, and we're not much interested in the meaning of our life, nor what it is to have a meaningful life. We're just not into it. We are looking at our life as though the human is the only thing that matters. And this is the crux of the matter for me, Ellen. I am plopped into this human carcass, this meat suit, as I call it, tongue in cheek. And it has all these needs and wants and desires and chemicals running through it. And we like to call it me or my or I. And we just get all sort of discombobulated in it until it absorbs our total attention. And what I am suggesting to you through everything that I teach is, what if this isn't the center point of our life? What if this human aspect of the old Gregory isn't everything, and that he shouldn't maybe have everything he wants, everything he thinks is good, everything he thinks is bad is being avoided? What if his life isn't anything like he'd like to think it is? What if? Now, that's what I'm asking here. What if? What if all of this just isn't the way I think it is? Now what do I do? Now how do I act? Now how do I live? What if everything is about something I can't understand and don't choose to live by? What if my righteousness is merely about what I think of as what's in it for me? What if my righteousness says to me, I should have what you have, and I go and take it? You know, righteousness and being right is kind of a perspective based on subjective needs and wants and mentalities. The immature person reacts from the whole idea of righteousness, thinking they're right. I can paint any picture I want in my mind and make myself believe that anything I am painting or thinking or trying to understand or get into my life or get out of my life is right. Were you made in righteousness? Were you or are you a product of the righteousness of your mother and father's union, their sexual union together that made your physical body? How do you know what's right? How do you know what it is that is blessed, as it were, all of these things? You say, I make it seem like we are all wrong about everything. Well, for the most part, we are. Whenever I am living for the whole idea of getting what I want, of surviving, of getting objects into my life and people and conditions out of my life, I am living in opposition to whatever is happening. I'm not listening deep inside. I am worrying. I am fretting. I am trying to get what I want over whatever condition is there. And I understand that. I've done it too. Everybody's done it. It doesn't make it wrong. I have to look at it and say to myself, or ask myself, why am I so out of kilter with my life? Remember what Jesus said, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of heaven. It is his pleasure to give you love, to give you abundance, to give you everything. It is a very beautiful thing when we come into that place inside of us where we can prosper from love in our heart. And that does not always gel with people, because when I say prosper from love, they're thinking about money. I am not. I am thinking about being able to let love live me. To actually feel the presence of a great love, that to me is prospering. It has nothing to do with money. It has to do with compassion, forgiveness. It has to do with being generous, of giving you that which I think I need more than you do. It is about a certain state of heart. And once I understand that state of heart, and I live in that state of heart, then everything coincides with it. Everything becomes immensely interesting and beautiful. So, if I give you the impression that everything we do is wrong, forgive me. But if I also give you the impression that everything we do is right, you must forgive me as well. It's not a matter of right and wrong. It really isn't. It isn't a matter of what is appropriate. It's a matter of love. Everything in this lifetime, everything, Alan, is about the state of love. To, as Buddha said, see how I love and what keeps me from the journey. That's all it's about. And I hope in some way, fashion or another, that resonates to you. Please forgive me. Namaste. Next one is from Jim. He does not tell me where he lives. When will I know if I'm right? When will I know if others are more right than I am or wrong? Jim. You know, everything is in proportion to a person's life. Anything that happens in a person's life is in proportion to whatever it is that is going on within them, what I call the state of their being. So, are things right when someone has something terrible happen to them? Well, typically, I've had that happen to me. You've had it happen to you, I'm sure. It's in proportion to whatever it is that is going on within you and me. So, it's proportional. And it is there as a way of helping me to awaken, to understand the process of spiritual awakening. It is not there as a punishment. It is there as a point of spiritual awakening. And what does that mean? You know, when I was younger and I had a lot of chemicals running through me, I started to think that all the needs that I thought I had were very, very important to fulfill. And then as I found out, as I went along, all of those needs weren't really needs at all. They were desires. They were things I wanted to compensate for the lack of, well, love I got as a child, the lack of affection I got as a child, the lack of a lot of things. And I started to realize, my God, I'm living as a compensation. A compensation from my parents' treatment of me. That's no way to live. Where is it in me that I find the meaning of my life? Where is it in me beyond their idea of right and wrong, good and bad, their idea of who I was and who I wasn't? Where do I find the authentic? At first, I thought I had to find myself. People will tell you, you got to go find yourself. That's not true. That's not true at all. And I'm always wary of people who say, I found myself, or I've got to go find myself. What self? You don't even have a self. I don't have a self. I have an opinion of what a self is. I have an opinion about Greg, but that doesn't make him myself. That's not what it's all about at all. So what is this thing that we're looking for? We're actually looking for love. We're actually looking for the state of love. We're looking for the way of the heart, actually. If I find that way of the heart through the work of spiritual awakening, I start to realize that the Greg part of me, well, he's always thinking he's right when he's doing things that are counter to what is loving and kind and caring. You start to work on yourself and you realize this form that we call a human being, in my case, a Gregory, he doesn't know what's right. He doesn't know what's wrong. He doesn't know anything. When will you know when you're right? You won't. Because you can be right in one situation and use the same, quote-unquote, rightness and be wrong in another. How do you think there is rightness in any of this? It's ridiculous. It's silly. What's the right thing to do? No, that's not the question. The question really is, can I be authentic in anything I do, authentic to love? Not to Greg's wishes, not to social mores, not to beliefs or theories or judgments of others or myself, my own biases, my own precepts, concepts. No, not to any of that. Can I be true to the heart? The heart. I wrote a commentary this month, and it was very important. It wasn't change of heart, it was change to the heart. In other words, ascending to the heart, not descending into Greg's emotionality. And this is a very important thing for us to understand one way or another. Because if I don't understand it, then I put myself in precarious situations where hate and fear reign supreme. And you don't want to go into hate and fear. When will you know when you're right? What do you care? Are you going to be socially right but morally wrong? Are you going to be morally wrong yet socially right? Are you going to be socially this or socially that? Who is to say who is right and wrong? Who's to judge? Remember the stoning of the woman who was condemned by the crowd that she was a prostitute? And Jesus said, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. I mean, you start to look at all of this. Where is it? What are we talking about here? What is the authentic? The authentic is in your heart. Be authentic to that which lives within you, beyond the ideas of right and wrong, good and bad. You will know when you are moving into the state of the heart exactly what you are doing, that you are setting into motion certain things that are going to come back to you in many different forms. You have to look at life as a formula, not an event or a circumstance. It's a formula. And when it is looked at as a formula, you see how things develop, mature. You see how something grows from this into that. You understand the bigger picture. But you don't use it for the sake of advancing yourself. You use this bigger picture as a way to recognize love. Listen to me, Jim, this is really important here at the end. It is all about recognizing love. Can I recognize love? Can I recognize the meaning of love in my life? Can I see the way of love through the heart of my living? Can I recognize it? Can I see it? Can I respond to it? That is the most important thing. And if I can feel that presence of love and simply emit energy from that presence, a great deal of kindness will come forth, a great deal of beauty, a great deal of everything. Whatever it is that comes from love will be there for you and for me. And that is always something, in my opinion, that is very touching and beautiful. It is all about love. and I hope that all of this serves you well. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question, it's kind of an interesting one. This is from Carol in Las Vegas. She says, Greg, after listening to you, I am a little confused. What is wrong and what is right? How will I know? Carol. Carol, don't be confused. Don't put your mind in duality and pit one idea against another, right and wrong, good and bad. Don't do that. That will only cause you great suffering and misery. And it's unintelligent, because when the mind is split in two polarities, one right, one wrong, one good, one bad, you're setting yourself up for a tremendous amount of confusion and fear. And you don't want to do that. So the effort is to let love live you, to allow love to have its will and its way within you, to guide you, direct you, bring you to significance, because it is only in finding the significance of love that you and I find the true meaning of life itself. So people are always looking, Carol, for rules. How will I know this? How will I know that? How can I get this? How do I get that? What is the rules? What is it I have to do? That kind of thing. Spiritual work, deep, inner, authentic spiritual work, has nothing to do with just my doingness. My doingness is a part of it, but it isn't just in my doing. It is in the state of my knowing. Intuitive knowing, knowing beyond what it is I can think, what it is I can understand. To no longer have a mind trying to weigh what is right and wrong, good and bad. Buddha said, a mind no longer seeking good and bad, right and wrong, as it were, is a clear mind. What dirties up my thinking is me trying to figure out what the heck I am going to get for whatever it is I think I want to do. If I allow my mind to muddy up the waters and make me think, well, if I do this and weigh that and get that, and I build a strategy for my life, I'm going to miss the gap, the pause, the spaces between my thoughts. And that's where love resides. That's where the depth of life resides. In those pauses, those gaps, those spaces. Then you understand the nature of life beyond the ideals of whatever it is you're struggling with in this lifetime. Most of us miss our entire life. We waste our entire life on the whole idea of trying to get what we think is a life. So what is wrong? What is right? Wrong turns into right, and right turns into wrong in this world, and you never know. You have to understand the predicaments that we find ourselves in, where we have to do the right thing or whatever, is really not the point of it all. It is, can I actuate love? Can I let this love actually live me, where I don't have any questions of right and wrong, good and bad? Great masters do not sit there and think, well, should I do this? And what do I get if I don't? And da, 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 da. They're not rational at all. I've been around them. I'm telling you, they don't think like that. They don't think. They flow. And that's what it's all about. To learn how to let go of our thinking and flow with the state of love that indwells us, that is us, that sustains us in all sorts of wonderful ways. And the more you're able to do that, to live in that flow of love, the deeper will be your experience of your life. And you will never wonder about right things to do, wrong things to do. You will think only in the form of what's insightful to your soul. I get out of here. Thank you for your beautiful question, Carol. Thank you all for listening. Thank you to my wonderful questioners. I hope you'll join me tomorrow. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.
Thank you.